Okay, hey everybody, I'm Chad Eckert. Follow me at Edina Real Cheat. That's Joe Doni. You can follow him on Twitter at TourPix. This is the Preferred Lines podcast. Follow us at Twitter as well, Preferred Lines. We're back with another edition of this pod, the Preferred Lines pod. And dude, today we're joined by the Traveler's man himself, the traveling man. Nagels, bagels, what's up?
I don't know if I go that far. What's up, Chad? How we doing? Joe?
You are the traveler, man. You've been there a couple dozen times. I mean, like, that's like right by your home state place where you live.
I've been there a couple times. But yeah, we can it's a good event. I like it a lot.
Well, cheers to you for joining us. Thank you. If you're not familiar with this man, it's Nagel Bagels. He does a Periscope each week. I did an interview with him for the Fantasy Golf Pod. You can search on YouTube or iTunes for that and just learn all about Nagel. Now, Joe, do you want to introduce what we're doing here?
Yeah, Nagels. What's going on, buddy?
How are you?
Good, man. Nice to talk to you finally. Yes. We've interacted for a while, for a couple of years. Nice to finally do a little face-to-face here. So here's what we do. We call this sort of segment, I don't know if you're familiar with it, we call it the front nine. We try to keep this pretty short and sweet. We're going to kind of rapid fire some questions at you, go back and forth here and just gauge your thoughts on the event this week. We'll keep it moving. You ready to go?
Yeah. Fire everyone ready. What do we got?
All right. Chad?
Bagels. What's a typical week like for you in terms of betting on golf?
Betting or on DraftKings, or what are we talking about here?
Well, do you bet more than you play DraftKings, or do you do the same? Give us like a rundown of your weekly routine a little bit.
Well, now that it's now that they have a Millie Maker every week, my DraftKings output has been a little bit more than usual, and it's not a lot. I don't want to confuse anybody, but
you're going into the Millie Maker. You're trying to be a millionaire on DraftKings.
Well, you know me. I only play the one lineup, so I get that bullet in there. But it's an extra $20 every week now. So I got the – I usually play only like $50 worth of lineup, $50 worth of contests on DraftKings. As far as outright goes, it kind of depends on, you know, who's in the field that week, what I like. I don't usually make like a card per se. I might be like – I'm usually just all in on one or two guys, and then – I'm lying to your audience. I'll probably bet all six guys that are on my DraftKings roster just because I'll have that FOMO that even though I don't think they're going to win, I got to have them just in case. It almost worked out this week with Sergio, but it's staggered based on the odds. So like 50 between DraftKings and outright $100 bucks, I'll say. Say $100.
Nice. I'm there with you kind of on the strategy of playing the same guys in both. But here's the question. All right. On this side, you got the stats guys. And on this side, you got the eyeball test guys. What okay. side is Nagels on?
I'm on the eyeball test side, I would say. I like to make my own sides, Joe. I don't like okay. to I like to zig when everybody else zags.
I know you do.
Telling me numbers that this guy fits this course, that's usually like, no, F that guy. I'm going somewhere else. I like to find my own narratives. I like to find stuff that I can really get behind when I do the show on Wednesday nights where maybe this is something that nobody's thought of yet. So, but, I mean, everybody has the same stats and applies them the same way. So everybody seems to always be on the same guys. So I'm like, I cross those guys off and find my own guys. I pick my own losers. You know, that's a big thing for the show.
Nagel, let's go back to the betting card though, real quick. Do you hedge yourself? We kind of glazed over that. Do you always do that?
I'm not a big hedge guy, Chad. You know, I'm pretty much all or nothing. I want big odds. Put your balls out there. Just let's go for the gusto, or we lose everything. It's not a big deal. We move on to the next week. So no, I'm not really a big hedger. I usually bet my biggest bet is on the guy that I have the one and done. I don't like to contradict myself. If I have a strong feeling about a player, I'm not going to find somebody else that I like too, because then I feel like, well, if I like this guy so much, then why am I spending money on this guy? I like – that's just the way I am.
All right, so we've lobbed a few over the plate.
Yeah.
Here comes the fastball.
All right.
Does Xander have a problem with pressure on Sundays?
Oh, man, that hurt. That's right in the gut. I don't think so. I don't think it's pressure. I think each individual event, if you just take this year, that's fine. You'll laugh it off. I can see you laughing there. If you take each
individual event. No, I just see you, event, like, just cringing. We're on YouTube, and if you're watching along on YouTube.
Rory McIlroy, is that choking? Is that collapsing to the pressure? He lost in a playoff to Justin Thomas. Okay, Colonial was bad. I'll give you that. We hadn't played in 3 months. He's young. He's still a kid. I don't know. I'm not there yet. I don't like that all his victories have been coming from behind. Let's say TBD. Okay. Can we wait to see how the rest of the year plays out?
Yeah.
All right.
Do you bet on Xander every week? Do you have to almost?
Yeah, I do. I have to. I wasn't going to bet him. I didn't like him at Heritage. I didn't play him in DraftKings. I said it on my show. I think this is a tough spot. Bounce it back after blowing Colonial. I don't see it happening. And I got a good read on my guy. I got the pulse. But
you just Wednesday you'd night, feel too bad missing the Xander win and not having the ticket to show for it. You'd have to do it, right?
Yeah, that's what happened. I texted my brother Thursday or Wednesday night after the show, and I said, "Yeah, I'm gonna have to put money on Xander. Like, how can I not? Like, yeah, that would be the worst Nagel loss ever."
How you feel about Xander? I'm kind of put myself in that boat with Brooks a little bit.
There you go.
So I've kind of heard you have a little take on this before, but I want to hear it again because people have very strong opinions about this.
Okay.
Does Brooks Koepka only care about major championships?
It seems that he's I just believe that's what all these guys are playing for. I mean, it's nice to be at the top of your sport, but we haven't seen that I'm going to kick your ass type attitude since Tiger back in his heyday, where Tiger won basically half the events that he entered. These guys know, the elite players know that those are the events that matter, and they're playing for legacy. They're not playing for FedEx Cup points. Now, that'll all come with it. You know, Justin Thomas is a bit of a – he's pretty good. But Brooksy, yeah, he's I didn't like him coming back from this break because it's like, well, nothing matters until August. You know, he's just got to get him – he's just got to get his game ready for – the PGA Championship. So I don't know if – I know he's going to might be a popular pick this week, but he's just rounding in the form, and he'll be ready to fire. So, yeah.
Let's talk about the Travelers and your experience with this tournament. Yeah. I remember you saying last year we had you on the Fantasy Golf Pod where you were there for Spieth over Berger, you were there for Bubba. What is so special about the Travelers to you?
Well, it was the first tournament that I took my daughter to. It popped up today on my Facebook memories thing that the first time we took her up there, and she got a glove signed by Matt Jones, and she got a ball from Mackenzie Hughes. And you know, she's what, 13? So this was, yeah. So she was a kid. She was like 9. And that was a big thing for us because over the last couple of years, we've been to a bunch of golf tournaments together. She's lost a little bit of interest since Ollie Schneiderjans lost his PGA card, and he's not at any of these events anymore. That was her guy. But and she calls me a traitor because now it's like, oh, you don't like Ollie anymore. Now you only root for Xander. I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? But it's a great event. I mean, anybody who goes up there, they have this huge, like, infield for the kids where you can basically just drop your kid off and go watch golf. And they got carnival games. There's a big infield, and they just do a great job, and all the big players usually get a great field. It's odd that it's, you know, the week after the U.S. Open, and they still get a great field, but it's just it's easy to get to. It's not too bad of a drive from here, in North Jersey up to Connecticut, and yeah, I don't know. I took my kid and she hugged Scott Piercy, and we have a lot of memories from.
Yeah, it's a moment. It's a moment.
So we love the travel. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So for those who don't know, I don't know how you don't know, but our guy Nagels here has a fantastic Periscope show every week on Wednesday nights. You've had some somewhat controversial takes here in the community on the show. There's one guy particularly who's been like 10 to 1 the last couple weeks. Now he's 20 to 1. It's John Rahm.
What do you think? For this week?
Yes.
Okay, for anybody who doesn't know, yeah, I'm not the biggest John Rahm supporter out there. So I think the fact – sorry. If he's going to get talked up this week as the guy that nobody's talking about, then I'm content with saying, yeah, he'll probably won't do anything. But if he's going to be completely ignored – That scares me.
So there's a scenario where you would bet John Rahm.
I'm sorry?
There's a scenario out there that you would take Rahm.
No, never.
Okay.
No. Just for content purposes. No.
All right.
I would say
content.
Every time the guy makes a birdie, I get a tweet from somebody telling me how fucking great he is.
That's brutal.
I can't. It's so obnoxious. I don't even bring it up half the time. People throw it in my face. My boy Artie last week giving me crap because Xander had a bad Saturday, and I get the whole Xander versus Rahm thing. People got to stop bringing this to my attention. I'm going to be right about this until I'm proven wrong. That's how I don't know. My take has been that he's not – this is like an elite field. We got a lot of good players here. So he likes those softer European tour events.
He's overrated. That's your take, right? He's overrated.
Well, he shouldn't be. He's not the second best player in the world.
Right.
He's ranked number two, but he's not better than Justin Thomas. I don't care what anybody says. He's not. He's better than Tiger Woods. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger's like 14th. But I don't know what John Rahm's like big moment was. What was it? When he won Torrey like 3 years ago? Like, can we get over
that eagle
now?
Putt from 50 feet to win the tournament, I think.
But that was 3 years ago.
Right. But, okay, whatever. We don't care about John Rahm. We want to know about your opinion of the person that's going to do well this week. What should we look for in a golfer at TPC Highland, whatever it's called?
River Highlands, yeah.
River Highlands.
A couple years ago, 2 years ago, I had a great DraftKings lineup. I had one of my better DraftKings career weeks. And I had guys like Wesley Bryan and Russell Knox, Paul Casey and Bubba, and maybe a Brendan Steele, maybe. Or I don't remember the exact team. But
striking bastards.
Yeah, you got to have those ball-striking bastards. Absolutely. I kind of like – I don't know what it's going to be like the next day or two, but is everyone going to be done with Bryson at this point, or is he going to be a favorite again?
No, he's going to be a favorite, I'm sure.
Yeah? Because I'm getting the feeling, just from what I've seen so far, you know, Brooks is getting some momentum, mm-hmm. and people are talking about Rahm now because, like, oh, his odds are too high. People like DJ, he showed a little something, and Abraham Answer. And, like, 2 weeks ago, Bryson was the guy, right? I don't like Bryson as much as anybody, but I could see him I could see him having a really good week this week, which yeah. – would be annoying, but if he's gonna be ignored, I like the guys that are ignored.
Yeah.
It's just so I can have my, you know, my moment. Like I was the one that happened.
Yeah, exactly. Content. Hey, should we talk about the questions we got? We got a question, okay, from Twitter. This one from, I don't know if you know this person. It's Charlie R.
Yeah, I've heard of him. Yeah,
at Cross 1919. He says, "Can you tell Nagel Bagels I'm a big fan?"
Yes,
Big I guess fan. That's not really a question.
Charlie by six. Yeah, we got it. Charlie's okay. A big fan of the Charlie big fan six. Of the Periscope. He gets involved. He's a good character. He lets me yell at him. And
this guy named Mick Sporty C wants you to go on a Rory rant. Are you using Rory this week in your DK lineup?
And I did that last week, and that didn't work out. And somebody put a post that Rory, he gave a quote how he's never going to come back there. Right. And once he saw the place, he remembers why he's never been back. It's like, well, I would have liked to have known that before Locke. Where was that quote? So that didn't work out. No, Rory loves the Travelers. I mean, Rory, JT, these guys, they come back every year. We'll see. I'm just getting I just set up the Listener League like 15 minutes ago. I'm not ready. I don't know yet. I kind of like Bryson. Just from listening to Pat and Jeff, I kind of like Bryson. Just because there's a lot of other guys getting momentum now, and this entire community is so recency bias. Like all of a sudden, everybody sucks after one round, and this guy's the best player in the world after one round. It doesn't work like that. So we'll see. We'll see where we go. You have any early leans?
I'm about to tell the world, and you can listen to this Preferred Lions podcast. It'll be published in about an hour and a half.
Good answer.
Well, here's something, Nagels. I have an interesting question for you. So I put this out on Twitter a little bit ago, but speaking of recency bias, you've got Webb Simpson. See, everyone, it's interesting because everyone wants to take recent form into such account until somebody actually wins, right? They win a tournament, and then it's like, let's hit the reset and forget everything that they've done previously. Because they just won. What do you do with Webb?
Oh, yeah. You always fade a guy off a win. I mean, everybody knows that. But I like Webb. Another guy. He's a winner. He's already won twice this year. Webb's great. Yeah, he fits the course. He's perfect.
But because he won, you're not on him.
No, it's good.
He blew his load. That's what they say. He blew his load. All right. Bagels. It's the blue. It's the candle burns for only so long till it burns out, And that's the balance. That's the fine line of. But Brendan Todd can do it. Maybe Webb can do it.
Right.
Well, yeah, but that was swing season, and Brendan Todd doesn't count as a back-to-back winner. I'm sorry. No.
So Bagels, I know it's Monday. You like to get into things, and you then rant about them on Wednesday nights, 8 Eastern. Okay. Do you have a preferred play that you want to give us yet, or even if it's a DraftKings lean?
No, I don't. I haven't even looked at the pricing.
Tune in to Wednesday night.
Somebody mentioned it last night. I wonder what Bubba's price is going to be. And I said, he'll probably be in the eights. I would set the over-under at 8,800. And I was
just
right
say,
on.
Just say Xander, Nagels. Just say it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yes, if Xander's going to be ignored, yeah, watch out. They got polar surfaces, California guy.
Oh, I know.
Talk about Cantlay. And Alexander will be there. I'll probably get him like 30-1.
Everybody, Nagel Bagels on Twitter. Go follow him and watch his Periscope. Wednesday nights, 8 Eastern. The man himself with the map, Bagels.
Thanks, buddy. We'll see you Wednesday, all right?
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much. Peace. Have a good show.
Later, man. Have a good one.
Later. Bye-bye.
All right. Here we go.
Bagels. Shall we make the turn?
What good content is Bagels? Yeah, let's make the turn. We're here to crack the board. Let's go into it. We got a big board, dude. This is great. But I wanted to get
every week.
Yeah, it's so good. And it's so fun to bet on golf. I'm loving it. I'm 2 weeks in and I haven't bet on golf for a couple of years. I've been doing just DraftKings and now I'm into betting on golf and it's great. I like top tens. That's fun too. Because then you don't feel like so committed to somebody and you can hope that they birdie a couple shots. Now, I'm up in my bankroll, Joe, because I'm enjoying it so much. I was thinking I'm going to go with $20 cap myself, but I'm doubling that. I think I'm going to go over to the $40. But I was going to ask you, dude, I like this idea of doing the 20-30 pre-tournament and then the 10-20 in-tournament if I'm going to play $50 to do some while the tournament's going on. That's the way to do it, right?
Well, it's interesting, especially with these leaderboards the last couple weeks, because you've had 20 to 30 guys sort of jam-packed within 2-3 strokes of the lead on Sunday. So it's really totally wide open. We saw it last week where it had some huge numbers in play on Answer and Hatton and Neiman and these guys and Sergio. I try to limit myself to one or two of those and just kind of ride out the horses that brought me there.
So, Joe, are you going to up your bankroll now that you've cashed mega profit on web?
No. I'm going to take some of that money and store it because I know how hard. This is right. So I know how hard it is to find a guy this week. But it was nice to load up the account this morning and see a comma in there. So that was cool.
Okay, let's get to the board. Let's get to the tippity tip top. And again, you got Rory McIlroy, but he is joined by Beefy Bryson and Justin Thomas at 12-1. The three trio at 12-1. And then you also have 20-1, Brooks Koepka, John Rahm, and Spider Webb Simpson. 25, you got Cantlay. 28, DJ Rose and Xander. Juicy, juicy board. What do you like at the top?
Well, per normal, it's tough up here, man. I do really like Justin Thomas. I feel that number is a bit short just based on the strength of this field and what the payout's going to be versus what I'm going to have to put into it to make myself feel good about a victory here. But I think that he sets up perfect. He's playing incredibly well. He's just freaking good. And he said last after his presser, he felt like he should have shot 30 under if he putted well. He's right there. We'll see.
Okay. The first bet I made this week, confidently, a big bet, a bankroll bet, was on Brooksy Boy, 20-1. I'm going to hit that. I'm going to hit that, and I'm going to hit on repeat DJ. Also, Dustin Johnson, 28-1. Feeling good about that number. I'll admit, last week was kind of a risk, kind of a stab in the dark, betting on DJ, not thinking that he had anything. But after seeing some of his results from this week and seeing him get his stuff together, I like him. He likes Pete Dye. He's not smart enough to get fooled by Pete Dye, so I like that about him. We know about DJ. He's got off with the putter. He's gained nothing. He's gained 2 times with the putter over the last 13 events he's played. Last week, he only lost 0.2 with the putter. And we're on to Poa, a surface that DJ prefers. So sign me up for a 28-1 for a big chunk of my bankroll. Should we roll?
He's definitely trending. He's trending in the right direction. I'm not quite there yet on DJ. Brooks, again, like I feel like I'm playing with fire here because he's so close and I'm not betting him and I'm worried that it's going to happen and I'm not there for it. But they slashed the number in half this week. He had a great Sunday charge. We'll see.
Oh yeah, dude. Don't come crying to me on Sunday when Brooks is in the lead, but maybe that's your in-play bet and you just get on it at the FOMO moment. The middle of the board. Here we go. Abraham Answer, he was a darling last week. You got him there at 33-1. Morikawa, Casey, Bubba, and him. Spieth and Reed at 40-1. 50-1, Woodland, Neiman, Leishman, Fitzpatrick, Garcia, and Finau. A juicy middle of the board, but for me, an auto bet at 33-1 for Sung J.M. Missed the cut last week, but I saw your video. We all saw him on the range grinding. Sung J.M., I'm going right back to him at 33-1. I'm probably going to bet him a lot. He's like my Xander for bagels. You got to bet him. Because I'll have FOMO if he's winning. Do you have any bets in this range?
No days off, right? No days off for so this range, this is where I'm going to make – this is where I'm going to live. This is my typical vibe in this range. You've got Xander there at 28-1. I'm very interested in. I think the – obviously, I had a feeling like Nagels that he was going to struggle last week coming off sort of the heartbreaking meltdown at Colonial that was. But he's been great with his short club, so his wedges. That's going to come into play a lot this week. He's gained some additional length over the past years. Another couple guys I like in this range, I've already bet Gary Woodland at 50-1. He has the narrative historically that he plays better on shorter courses. This kind of fits that mold. He putts pretty well on Poa. Obviously won the U.S. Open last year on Poa greens. I know it's a mix between kind of Poa and Bent, but I feel like this course setups very well for him. Particularly in previous years, great drivers of the golf ball play well here. He's one of the best on tour, great with a pitching wedge as well in his hand. And the other guy I got who comes in scorching hot is Joaquin Neiman. He's been my guy for a long time. I feel like he's consistently undervalued on the betting board. In comparison to some of the other young guns up there with Hovland and Morikawa, I feel like Niemann is very, very close to them talent-wise, and he's a little bit undervalued. Played great last week, has been playing. He's top 10 in pretty much every category that I looked at, from proximity to ball striking to tee to green. He's great with a pitching wedge in his hand. He doesn't like Bermuda greens, but he putted great last week. He's back on a more familiar surface that he likes. I'm taking Niemann. I got a 55 on him, a 50 on Gary, and I'm debating Xander at that 28. Who you got in this range?
Well, dude, I've been on Niemann the last couple of weeks at 80-1. So seeing him here, it's, I don't know. I might jump off now. But
right.
Bubba on Bubba Tracks. I feel like I'm a Bubba better on Bubba Tracks. This is a Bubba Track, and I grabbed it right away at 28-1. And then interesting to see, it's 33 here. Do you have any interest in Bubba on a Bubba Track?
I don't, and it's hard for me to really explain why. I know that Bubba is as big of a course history player as there is. It's just a value thing to me. When you take a guy that was 110-1 the past 2 weeks, and you basically chop that number down, take a quarter of it to 33-1.
He said it was coming.
I knew it was coming. It's Bubba. Look, I got flooded with texts from my buddies today who are kind of casual golf bettors. They're all like, I'm taking Bubba, I'm taking Bubba. That's a little bit of a sort of a caution flag up for me. I'm going to be off this week. If I miss him at 33-1, I'm happy to bet him at a course he's maybe less familiar at quadruple the number later on down the road.
Sure. I just liked his confidence with the was it Wes Bryan or whatever? It's great.
He seems to be having a lot of fun, which is good, which is a great sign for Bubba, because he pretty much wears his emotions on his sleeve. You can tell when he's frustrated. You can tell when he's in good spirits. He seems to be feeling good about his golf game and feeling good about being back out there playing right now, which is a great sign.
One of the bets I like, and I'll talk, is my value bet of the day or whatever, or the week or whatever, at the end of the pod, preferred play, is Finau at 50-1. I'm going to go with 50-1 Finau all day through the rest of his career, because he's way overdue for a win, and we all know it, and he's too good to have not really won. He won the Puerto Rico Open. That doesn't really count. Last week, I liked his irons. I liked his confidence. You know, I like him. I like Finau. I'm going to take him. So, whatever.
So, I'll say this about Finau. I know you're – so you're more of a DraftKings guy, and Finau is a great DraftKings player, but I'm a bettor, right? I've been betting golf for the last 10 years, and I've been on Finau plenty of times. There's just something about him that has frustrated me to the point of him not getting it done on Sundays. He just has these uncomprehendable bogeys out of nowhere, right? He can be seemingly playing fantastic golf, and all of a sudden you see a random bogey on a par five, and you're like, what the fuck are you doing, Tony? But he just hasn't got it done. He's great at finishing top five. He's great at finishing with eagle and birdie points. Not great at winning tournaments.
I just like the 50 number on a guy that's due
it's
to
a
win.
Good number.
That's my.
I've just been down the road too. I've been burned too many times.
I'll spend some money first before I'm you, I guess. I grabbed Sergio too because of he was 9.9 strokes gain on approach, but then lost 3 strokes with his putter and finished T5 last week. That's like a combination that just doesn't make sense. So, whatever. We'll see.
Incredible.
Let's go into the long shots because we're almost out of time here. Okay, long shots. Does it really matter if they win? Like, are we expecting these long shots to win?
I put out the thing in last week that I'm kind of changing up my strategy a bit here. I feel like these guys in the 100 to 200 range were at the same number when there was a lot less strength in the field. Now that these tournaments have essentially turned into major championship or WGC type fields, it's difficult for them to really pull through. There's a couple guys that I have here, but I think I'm going to stick to the top 10, top 20s. A couple of guys I have in this range. We kind of talked about him earlier a little bit, but Max Homa rated out really well for me. I'm going back to the well on Doc Redmond. He is incredible until he gets to the green. Dude, he's number one in opportunities gained over the last 2 weeks since we resumed the PGA Tour. He's 47th in birdies. It's agonizing to see him have 4'6" for par on Shot Tracker and never seemingly make them. One of these weeks it's going to happen. I think he's a great top 20 bet. I got a 10-1 on him to finish top 20 week, which would have been a substantial payout along with Webb, and he finished 21st. So that was a little heartbreaking. But I think that I'm going to go back to the well this week. He's 250-1. One other guy that's interesting here real quickly is Brendan Steele. Good course history. Finished top 25 in 4 out of the last 5 events. I believe he's 225-1, depending on the book that you use. He played really well with a Honda, and I know that because not only was I there, but I was there with a couple of Jason Sobel and his other buddy Jason were there with me, and they had huge tickets on Brendan Steele, so we were walking around following him. Played really well going into that. He hits the ball a long ways, pretty good with his wedges. I think he presents some value at 200+.
I do want to make a note that you kind of have to take course history with a grain of salt, since the history was against shitty fields, and those players that popped in those years probably wouldn't have popped if the fields were as deep as they are this year. Doesn't matter. They've done well right on the course, which is helpful.
That's kind of how I feel about Bubba a little bit.
I got a couple names in the deep 150s. You got Matt Wolf, somebody that likes Poa because he's from California. And you know what? A winner. You want to pick winners. Someone that's actually lifted a trophy in this section. And Max Homa's won. Matt Wolf's won. Cameron Champ's won twice. And he's 150-1. But his number's dropping drastically. I also saw Jason Day. You might be able to get it 100-1. He's a winner and likes Pete Dye and pops out of nowhere.
Certainly
I don't know about
does.
If he's going to pop anymore out of nowhere. But he has in the past. For
telly, I like that Matt Wolf play. I do like that Matt Wolf play. I might get in on that.
Because the bomber narrative, and he, like, does sure. care. He wants to grind, and he's pissed. He took the week off last week, so that helps. We know this. Now, Snedeker is this week's web? Maybe, because he's 150-1. This is crazy that Snedeker's 150-1. The win equity is there. He's got 9 times. He's won on the PGA Tour. He needs his 10th, and he's looking for it. He wants it every week. He tees it up. He's going for his 10th. That's a milestone and goal for sure for Brant Snedeker, 151. Webb last week was terrible with the irons. We saw this. Everybody was like, what the hell? This makes no sense. And then he spiked back up to his regular play, and he won the tournament. Snedeker, terrible last week with the irons. I don't know. I don't know where. It was supposed to be good, though, we thought.
Yeah, so, great Poa putter. Brant is like you said, all of those guys that you just mentioned are, I think, valuable bets because they're guys that have shown the propensity to hoist trophies, right? And that's what it's all about. A lot of these guys down here have, even some of the guys I named are more so top 10 bets, but they aren't guys who win. Wolf, Champ, Snedeker, winners.
Max Homa won. Siwoo Kim won. He's 350-1, and he was -5 strokes gained putting last week. So I don't think he lost because of his irons. He lost because of his putter. He could switch that up on Poa. Let's recap,
though. Back on Pete Dye.
Joe, what's your preferred plays of the week, or do you want to wait for your lunch drive tomorrow?
I'm still kind of evaluating things, but here's what I have in thus far. So I have Woodland and Neiman at 50 and 55. I took a flyer on Doc Redman at 250-1, but I'm going to bet the top 10 when that comes out. I'm going to take Brendan Steele, likely a top 20, top 10 there. And at the top, I think I'm going to have to just dig in and go Brooks Koepka just because I can't miss out on this number. The only hesitancy I have is I really like Justin Thomas, so I may go there. I will have the full card out Wednesday. Who do you got?
Dude, let's make it a Brooks pod win, okay? Because I got Brooks. My biggest bet of the week is on 20-1 Brooks. Got DJ, got M, got Finau, got Snedeker, and I got Fratelli too. I like Fratelli. He went low on Sunday. He's been going low. He flirted with a 59. I think it was you who told us about his Instagram or whatever. But
yeah, he played really well. He had a putt for 59. Anytime that you are interested in a Brooks DJ head-to-head, you let me know, man. I'm all for it. I'll just keep collecting it. Look out on Mondays.
I tried to get out of that. We did try to give a towel away to someone who would retweet our pod, and the only person that did was Stewie. So, Stewie! We're going to send you a Preferred Lines towel. Thanks for watching. I think we're done rambling, and if you want to watch Bagels this Wednesday, you can do that on his Periscope. Find him on Twitter, 8 Eastern. He rambles on. There you go.
Hey, listen, guys, subscribe to the pod and give us a rating, all right? That helps us get paid a ton of money. So
ton.
Do that when you get a chance. Give us a good rating. We'll talk to you guys next week. Get another winner.
Sweet.